It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 382. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have 6 messages for tonight that I'm going to play and respond to. Great stuff. That's going to be the content. I'm losing my voice, so perfect timing. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and also Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. I have a jam-packed show tonight. Right before I came on the air, I noticed that my iPhone had an update available, and that was thanks to someone that's following me on Facebook. That is the iOS 5.01. So that's out today for your 3GS, I believe, any device that can take the iOS 5. So the 4S phone, your iPads. This update's critical because of the battery life drain problem, that there's a bug in iOS 5. So hopefully they address this and we're going to get longer life. So I recommend updating to that. Now, before we get to the ton of voicemail with everybody on the go, holding that impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. I know, I've been working my tail off these past 2 weeks and just no time. And if I want to have a meeting, the best service to use is GoToMeeting. You can have one place that everybody can connect to your meeting, and they could be on any device. Doesn't matter what it is. They have a client for it. It supports voice over IP. Great tool set. That is the service for hosting meetings, and you can try it free for 30 days, but you have to go to gotomeeting.com and click on the try it free button and then enter the promo code podcast. So go to gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free, enter podcast, and you get to play with it for 30 days. Here is the first voicemail.
Mike, this is Charlie in Leesburg, Florida. Great show, by the way. Long time listener. Keep up the good work. I am really, really tired of cell phone contracts, the 2-year contract. My contract's about to expire on my Droid. My plan is to buy some sort of cheap phone. I have a Google Voice number, so I don't have to worry about keeping my own number staying on the same provider. Having that forwarded, my Google Voice number to a good tablet, a really good tablet, something good that comes out with ice cream sandwich. I can wait on that a little bit, though. I also have a Wi-Fi hotspot that I get through Verizon. Now, the best of both worlds would be to get a phone that has a Wi-Fi hotspot on it, just buy the phone. But I could keep the hotspot. Any suggestions on how to proceed with this? Is there a better way to do this? Anyway, thanks a lot, and I'll be talking to you. Bye.
All right. I do not have some direct recommendations except for the following. Now, this doesn't help you, I believe, outside the house, but a lot of you are going to laugh when I give you this recommendation. But two clients this week, two different clients, both just had unbelievable great things to say about something that when I see the commercial, I always laugh. And it's Magic Jack. I can't believe the positive response that I've got from two clients that told me about it unsolicited this week. That when I was visiting them, they just love it. The thing just works, they said. And I went to the website. There's a Magic Jack Plus that you can just plug in your phone. You got to, you know, connect it to the router. I'm going to have a link to the Magic Jack FAQ, the FAQ portion of their site. If you go to magicjack.com, I hate what they do on their website. They have a very annoying commercial that just starts talking and you can't stop it. You can't mute it. And I hate websites that do that without me asking or soliciting, or at least the ability to turn it off. And I couldn't find it. So I'm not going to link that for that reason. But I am going to link to a portion of the site that's not annoying that will give you information. So that's one sort of way to reduce the phone bill. Now, I understand what he's asking for. And last night, and I don't know how much this is going to help a little bit, and I was talking with Uncle Al, and he gave me the following, and it's from Republic Wireless. And it's a phone that's sort of a flat rate for the membership, and it's very inexpensive and can work with Wi-Fi. Newsflash, anything a cell network can do, the internet can do better and cheaper. So we think a truly smart smartphone should make a habit of using Wi-Fi for everything, surfing, texting, sharing, and yes, even talking. There isn't an app for this. Definitely shouldn't have to download any special apps to get on the web instead of a cellular network. It should be automatic, built in. You should use your phone. So hybrid calling is just a hybrid car. It's just like a hybrid car, only traditional carriers are the oil companies. And if there isn't any Wi-Fi around, no problem. Your Republic smartphone just switches itself over to cellular, and it's $19 per month. Thank you, Al, for sending me this. I'm going to have a link in the show notes, and it's just republicwireless.com. So that's two sort of options for what you're looking at for. We want recommendations for a Wi-Fi phone that will just work with your hotspot. Now, this might be it, you know, from Republic Wireless, because if you're going to be carrying around a hotspot all the time, then you don't have to worry about Wi-Fi. And that's what the listener who just asked for that. So something that's $20 a month, that might not be bad than a full-blown package for the smartphone. I know I'm paying a fortune for my iPhone, and there's three iPhones on our plan in my house. So it really does add up. Great question, and I'm looking for more recommendations, and I think we're going to see more as everybody starts complaining about their cell phone bill, and we want to, you know, we're going to cap out to a point where now we got to look for alternatives, sort of like the cable bill. You know, you get to a point where, wait a second, I can start getting some of my paid movies and paid services free over the internet, you know, where sites like Hulu and all the other places, a way to reduce your cable bill and just kind of pump the money into the internet connection and do it all based on the internet. I think we're going to see this as time goes on, more and more Wi-Fi enabled phones that we can walk around with and just connect to Wi-Fi and make a call.
Hello, Mike. This is Paul from San Antonio calling you once again. Called to cover three topics from your latest show. The first one was your listener question about exporting Outlook contacts from Outlook to another client or service. You mentioned exporting to PST, which is fine if you're going to another instance of Outlook. What I prefer, though, is to export to a CSV format. The reason being is because CSV stands for comma-separated value file format. It's basically just a text file with a line that has, if you think of a spreadsheet, it'll have what would be the title of the first column, comma, title of the second column, comma, like that until it ends the reaches the end of the line, and then there's a return or carriage return or line break, you want to call it, and then the first row of data. So for instance, the first name, comma, last name, comma, address, so on and so forth. And the return or line break separates each record. Because that's a simple text file that can be read that way, that can be imported into Excel as a spreadsheet, Access Database, Outlook, Outlook Express, Thunderbird, or any online web-based email program. So it's the most versatile file format, and so that's what I use to back up my contacts. So I can quickly import them into any other system that I want to. Sometimes I'll even put that backup on my thumb drive, so if I happen to be somewhere else and I absolutely need to find a contact that I don't have on my phone or my phone's not with me, I can at least connect that and pop it into a spreadsheet or open it with Excel directly and just read it from there. Also, the other tip was similar. It was migrating to Google Apps Gmail from Yahoo Small Business Mail. You mentioned the use of IMAP, and that's what I would recommend. More than likely, they were using the web interface because if you're using POP3, you don't have the ability to create custom folders within the account. You can do that locally, and it shows up as a different branch on the tree directory there in Outlook or whatever email client you're using. But if they have a lot of custom folders, my guess is that they're using the web interface. Even if you're not, you've been using POP3, I would suggest going into the web interface, moving all your custom folders or creating new ones right there, and then organizing all your messages appropriately. Once you have all your folders set up, you can use IMAP to connect to your account from Outlook or Thunderbird or what have you. Once you do that, set up your new Google account, your Gmail account, and configure that so you'll have two separate email accounts in your email client. And at that point, if they're both accessing via IMAP, which I know Gmail via Google Apps and Yahoo Small Business Email both support IMAP, then it's a simple matter of just dragging and dropping your folders over to the Gmail account and you're done. All your messages are there. Manual, but fairly quickly. The last point was about using USendIt for sending large files. Personally, I prefer to use FileZilla and set up an FTP server because then I have full control over it. If you're worried about access, you can use Secure FTP. You just have to remember to provide them with a username and password to log in. Otherwise, they can just log in. You can decide to just share one folder and nothing else on your system, and they can log in as guests basically without having to use a username or a password. And that way you just send them a link to that file on your FTP server, and they just right-click Save As and download it to their computer that way. That's all I've got. Thank you for your show. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Paul. A couple comments. I really like your IMAP tip for moving the mail from one to the other. That's fantastic. And the FileZilla tip, though, great idea for the techie person. Now, I know FileZilla, and setting up FileZilla server is fairly easy, but most of my clients could never do that, and they could not set that up, nor would they be willing to invest the time to even begin to set that up. That, I believe, is it's a great idea, having two techs or geeks sending big files to each other. Great idea, but not for your average user. That's why you got services like USendIt. It's very simple. And I've had clients use that who want to send, you know, a huge attachment, and they just can't send it over the normal standard mail because it'll be blocked. It's too big. But thank you, Paul, for those comments.
This is Roger from Minneapolis. I'd like to just tell your viewers of a utility that I have been using just the past couple of weeks. That I find very useful. It is called DNS Benchmark, and it is from Steve Gibson over at grc.com. Basically, it benchmarks 50 built-in name servers, and it tells you the most fastest ones, cached and uncached. And it has been working pretty well. I think it really speeds up the page loading for the DNS name servers. So again, DNS benchmark over at grc.com. It's a really cool tool, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Bye.
Great tip. I didn't even know that existed. And anything that Steve Gibson writes is always efficient and small and very helpful. I will have a link in the show notes to that utility.
Hi, Mike. This is Roger again from Minneapolis. I have a question either maybe hopefully you can solve or maybe one of your listeners. I use Term Server when I go to different clients, but on the clients, I am not allowed to install any software. Basically, it is blocked out from installing anything. But I'd like to go to the Term Server website for my company. I was wondering if there's a way that the thin client from Citrix can be run from a USB thumb drive. I've done a little bit of research on it, but I couldn't really find anything on that. If there's anybody out there who is really good at Term Server and the Citrix client and can tell me a free way running that from a USB drive, that would be awesome. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. Bye.
I have the answer, Roger. First, we want to make sure that your terminal service's web access is configured properly. So I'm going to have the TechNet link on how to make sure that that's set up correctly. Next, the perfect answer, Firefox Portable Edition. You can have your own browser with your own bookmarks and whatever add-ins you need for that Firefox Portable and have it running on your USB stick. That is the ultimate answer for what you're looking for. I just love Firefox Portable. I love all the portable apps. And I did a big presentation at the Philadelphia Area Computer Society a few weeks ago on just portable apps. Quick plug, on the 19th of this month, that's the third Saturday, I will be presenting on all things about remote access. That's going to be the topic for my SIG presentation, and that's the Philadelphia Area Computer Society, November 19th, and that presentation will be at 1:15 p.m., and if you're in the area, you've got to definitely stop by. We have a lot of fun, and I have topics planned out for the next several months for what we will be discussing at those SIG meetings.
Hi, Mike. In show 380, you mentioned uninstalling, reinstalling .NET framework to resolve a software issue. I recently had an issue of my own like that while addressing a new email with an email address that is not in the history. Microsoft Outlook 2007 would error with "Business Contact Manager has encountered a problem and needs to close. We are sorry for the inconvenience." I tried help, Office Diagnostics, no go. I look for Windows Updates, no go. I archive most of the 2 gigabytes of the Outlook.pst file, no go. Searching on Google, I discovered someone talking about this issue and .NET Framework. I uninstalled all the versions of .NET Framework, rebooted, used CCleaner to remove all errant registry and entries, reinstalled them all from Microsoft Update, rebooted, installed their updates, rebooted, installed more updates, rebooted, problem solved. My next option would have been to use the .NET Framework Cleanup tool. That can be found in Aaron Stebner's MSDN blog in this entry. I've included the URL in the email. Love your show. Patrick Boyle, Springfield, Missouri. P.S. You can view, edit, and change to normal contacts the email address history in Outlook. That's stored in an Outlook file that has an NK2 extension. Use the NK2 view by Ner Sofer at nersoft.net, and the link's also in my email. Have a great week.
Patrick, thank you. And I've often talked about that NK2 view edit that has saved me and will save me again tomorrow as I work on a system that will be, it's XP. But when I bought this Dell computer, Windows 7 was shipping and we sort of had to downgrade it because of an application. And we had to downgrade it a year or two ago to XP. So now we finally can go to Windows 7 Pro 64-bit, and I have that already. So I got to do a lot of transfer of a lot of things and then blow it away and reinstall, and that's what I'm doing tomorrow morning. Back to his .NET, the comments, which are great. Aaron Stebner's weblog, I have mentioned a few times and certainly listed it in the show notes. It's a must bookmark because he links to several utilities that will help you check and repair and clean out all of the .NET frameworks and let you know, are they working? And then after that, what if you can't get rid of them? What if you can't uninstall it? Then you can go right into rip and replace. But he's right. You have to spend the time uninstalling and then reinstalling. I am walking into a situation on Wednesday of next week. I already know this. A client that I am installing two new systems. There's someone else in the office. It's not important, but their Windows updates are failing, and it's failing on the .NET. So there is some .NET corruption going on, and I am going to fix that. And now I'm going to be armed with the utilities that Aaron Stebner links. I'm now in a better position to correct that problem. That's one. Now, talking about utilities, and I can't believe this. Last week, I mentioned a utility that Uncle Al has put us on to, and that utility, the Windows Repair Tool, I had to use today. I went to a client that called me late yesterday that their system is absolutely infected. They can't move to anything. There's things taking over the system. I said, just shut it off. Shut it off. And could they wait till this afternoon? And they said yes. And I came out and I used my combo fix, and it deep cleaned and removed a ton of infections. But then I was left with a system that had no icons, a mess. But when you use that Windows Repair Tool and you check off all of the boxes, and I want to review that right now. The utility is the tweaking.com Windows Repair. I downloaded the portable version. There's a couple steps. And step one, you can download Malwarebytes, TDSS rootkit remover, and Panda Cloud Antivirus. Now, this is where I deviate. If it's really infected, I run the combo fix. Step two, this is to check the disk. This is to just do a check disk on the system, and very important if you're doing file permission repair. The third is the system file check. But we're going to get right to the meat and potatoes here. System restore point. Create a system restore point. Then you can start your repairs. Go to custom, click start. And it's asking me right now, do I want to create a restore point? I'm going to say no. And now you get a great list of all of the different repairs. And I had to run most of these on my client. The first one. Now, you can uncheck and check as many as you want. You can select all, you can uncheck all, and they all uncheck, or you can say select all. The first one is reset registry permissions, reset file permissions. How about register system files, repair WMI? This will repair the WMI on the system, and that is used by many Windows services and third-party programs. When WMI becomes corrupt, these services and programs will fail. How about repairing the Windows firewall? repairing Internet Explorer, repairing the MDAC, and Microsoft Jet. It's a program that needs to work with databases that uses MDAC. Now, a lot of us don't need that, but some of us may be running programs that require MDAC. Repairing the host file. Remove policies set by infections. Lots of infections will set system policies to stop you from doing lots of things. Repairing icons. This, I desperately need it, and especially today, it really fixed it. Repair a WinSock and DNS cache. Have it removing temporary files. Repairing proxy settings in case they were set to take your client or yourself to a different place where you didn't want to go. Unhiding non-system files. This is a big one I'm running into now after the infection's removed. Here, I can't wait to try this with the Windows updates being broken. This is how you can repair it. The repair for the CD DVD missing, you know, when that's missing. Repair the volume shadow copy service when that's broke. Repairing the Windows sidebar and gadgets. Yeah, I don't care if they're broke. But you know what? I have clients that they do like that. And then here we go. Set Windows services to default startup because they start playing with all the different Windows services. A lot of these would take an awful lot of work and many utilities where tweaking.com, the author here, has put them all in one place. And I have used this and it has worked and it saves a lot of time. Brian, who is BriTech, was in the chat last night when I was recording Tech Vets, and he has a program that he likes that's very similar. And you know what? We want to have as many of these programs available to us and whichever is the best one. And it's the UVK System Repair. And this is a program that's very similar with a lot of the options. I'm glad to see these utilities where we can repair the WMI, create a system restore point, empty all users' temp folders. Here you go, register system DLLs, install Windows Fix-It Center, and then reboot the system. It can create a log. We can view the logs. Very nice program. You can never have enough of these on your USB stick that is used for repairing systems. It's critical that we have all of the best possible utilities to arm ourselves when we go do battle against the evil infections on all the systems that we run into. And I'll tell you, I've been running into a ton of them, and it's nice to be armed with this. Doing Combo Fix and all the cleaning, I was an hour and a half in repairing a very seriously infected system today. When I was done, I kicked off Malwarebytes after I did the update. And the reason I was called, it was very interesting. My client tried Malwarebytes and it would not run. And they couldn't get that running. And that's when they knew they were seriously infected. And I got the phone call. And now I left it doing a deep cleaning of Malwarebytes. And I said, I don't need to stay here while this is running. Just keep an eye on that when it's done and remove anything that it recommends for any objects that it found that were infected. That's what my approach. And there was an email tonight that I was going to read that's actually someone asking, what is my approach on tackling these problems? And that's it in a nutshell, exactly how I handled that tonight. And or actually today before the show, if we're armed and we have a procedure in place, a couple things. One, you get in and out in a reasonable time. You're making money still, but you're also demonstrating to the client that you have a defined procedure that they felt good. When I was there and I was running and CombiFix, it took a few times to try to get it to run. But once it did, it started running. Man, it started killing a lot of the things that were grabbing the system. They had like a sense of relief overcome them that they were in good hands, because there was someone that they knew, that they trusted, that knows what they're doing, to come in and attack. And I tell you, in the past, I was not properly prepared on the post-cleaning. I had lots of little utilities and different things I was trying, but I didn't even know of Unhide and some of the other things that you need to run these things, because these infections are really messing the system up, where it's in disarray. All their icons missing, program options missing, permissions reset, registry problems. You can't leave them like that even after you've deep cleaned the system. So it's these post-fix things that have to be done, and the housekeeping, I think, is important, and that's why I wanted to dedicate a little time to tonight's show and to, I think, very important utilities that if you're listening to this show, you go to miketechshow.com, look at show 382, and download those utilities for fixing after a system's been infected. The last few weeks, I've been looking at the links that I've been posting. There's some tremendous links to incredible utilities that really help us be not just better techs, not just, but better support. Even if you're not in the business, being able to help yourself, being able to fix these problems and be able to fix a friend or a family member or a coworker, and maybe even share with your own IT department, because they don't know about some of these, because you know why? They're not living in the trenches like we are and doing battle, where we got the battle scars and, you know, you get creative. That's how some of the most creative medical procedures come out of wars and some of the battles, because you got to take shortcuts to make things happen. And that's where I know different medical instruments were created, because of the necessity. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing some great utilities that's helping us do battle with all these infections. And it's great. I love talking about them. I love learning about them, and continue to share them with me. And while you're continuing to share them and email me and the incredible voicemails that we had, don't forget my Amazon links, and because it's the holiday season now. And if you go to amazon.mikenation.net, miketechshow.com/Amazon, it'll take you to Amazon. The price is the same, but a commission gets paid back to the Mike Tech Show. And we so desperately appreciate that. And for the holiday season, with everybody buying, Amazon's a great place because they stand behind everything that you're buying. And I know if you don't like something, you can return it easily. The shipments are incredible. Look into the Amazon Prime. It's worth it to have that two-day guaranteed shipping, and maybe even get the, you might even be allowed to get the trial version. And what a great time to do that now for the holidays. And then you can always turn it off. But if you have that trial, you'll be able to get anything shipped in 2 days with not paying any additional money. And not only with the Prime, you also get a lot of the free TVs and movies, all the Star Trek episodes. I mean, there's just a lot that comes with a Prime membership. So look into that. That is it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. And please excuse my voice. It's been coming and going over the last couple of days. That's it. I will see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.